To find out more about the strength and structure of the elite Republican Guard, we called on Anthony Cordesman, who has studied and written about the Iraqi military and is a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. According to Cordesman, each division fights by brigade and is adequately armed.
In general, they range from 190 to 270 tanks. The structure is anywhere from 8,000 to 12,000 men, depending on the divisional unit. They basically each have a separate mission in the area north and south of Baghdad in peacetime, and they are all organized with extensive support units, and there are special forces-like and security elements of the Republican Guards as well.
Since the fighting began 2 weeks ago, we've heard quite a bit about the Medina Division. We now know that some of the other units based in the north are moving south to confront U.S. forces or have already moved to the south. What do we know about those units, and what appears to be the Republican Guard strategy at this point?
Well, it's a very good question because, frankly, the people in the U.S. intelligence community can't quite figure it out. A lot of it doesn't make sense. Too many of the movements are too open. They're too exposed to air power. They're leaving gaps in the defense of Baghdad. And what you have now is a situation where you have elements of almost every division in the north present in the south. You have the Medina division being stiffened by the Nebuchadnezzar division, or at least some brigade of it, which has moved actually fairly far south, but now has been driven further north again. The Hammurabi division is in the west. It has sent some elements to help the Medina division, but it is likely to take a significant hammering from the Marines. It's a very fluid situation, and at least some Republican Guards units have had to be reinforced by the remnants of the regular army in the south, something which never happened in previous combat.
Does it seem that the Republican Guard has learned some key lessons from the Gulf conflict, and do they appear also to have borrowed from the playbook from some other recent conflicts in Somalia or Afghanistan?
This is an intelligent and adaptive enemy. It hasn't had any major military resupply since the Gulf War, so there are serious limits to what it can do, but they've adapted. They do have special forces elements and commando-like groups. They certainly studied what happened in Serbia and probably were there as advisors, and they have studied what happened to us in areas like Somalia, as well as the experience in Lebanon. They have studied Chinese and Russian doctrine for asymmetric warfare. So we can expect them to try to use all of the same techniques we've seen in the South in terms of civilians used in combat, not wearing uniforms, sudden raids, disruptive attacks from the rear, hit-and-run efforts to get to the core of our forces.
And overall, could you give us your assessment of the elite Republican Guard? Has their conduct on the battlefield been as impressive as their name might suggest?
I think what you have to say is that a force without air support that has no modern intelligence assets and no modern re-equipment is not an elite force by Western standards. And yet you have to respect the innovation. You have to respect the courage. There are no reports of units surrendering. They have stood and fought against an extremely sophisticated technical force with a degree of air supremacy which has never been seen in modern combat before. So if the test of elite is dedication and courage, no matter how foolish the leader they're loyal to, they are an elite force. If the definition of elite is, can they compete directly with the United States Army and the United States Marines, then the answer is simple. They can't.
Thank you, Mr. Cordesman.
Thank you.
Anthony Cordesman is a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.